It is good to see all these bright and smiling faces out here this morning. I know you amazing young people may get tired of me saying, but I will always say, what a blessing for all of us here to see all these amazing young folks and young adults. Because for a while, if you all didn't know, we had nobody. I think the youngest person was 50. So it's amazing. It truly is amazing to see you young folks out praising and loving the Lord, taking the time to come out and praise and love the Lord. And also, Miss Jan here, don't want to know, but it is amazing to hear the music. Not that Brother Mike didn't do a great job leading the singing. It's good to see you, Jan.
Praise the Lord.
So praise the Lord, Sister Jan, and every single person is out here this morning to praise the Lord.
Yes.
So with that, we'll go into our message here. I love Advent season, and it takes up time, and I love that. So today, we are still in the book of Galatians, a short reading in Galatians. I always thank Brother John, he's not here today, and Pastor Mike, and they get the hard ones, and I get the easy ones. I don't pick, but I'm happy about it. I'm not in no way. They do a great job, an amazing job. They've been unpacking a lot of very tough subjects, and it's been really good to sit back there and be lazy and just hear the amazing message God has for us. So we're going to look at the subject that Paul has introduced to us in this book, and today, Christian freedom. And it's not Brother Larry, it's going to be Pastor Mike. He's going to read. And we need to read along, and we need to read in faith, and we need to believe every word and try to listen with a purpose and put it into practice in our life, and to learn from God's Word today as we hear the Holy Word in Galatians 13 through 15.
You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Reading of God's Word.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, for reading the Word. We wanted to get the microphone back to him so that the wonderful people at home can hear the Scripture also. Different ones are said different times. Sometimes they couldn't hear it. So now let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for this amazing day. Thank you again, precious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning to learn more about you and love you more and praise you more and thank you more for all the things that you do for us. A lot of the things, Father, that you do for us, we do not even know. We don't even understand, but we thank you. We thank you, of course, for your Son, Jesus, that we're going to learn more about today. We thank you again for each and every single person that has come out here this morning to show their love for you, to worship you and honor you. We thank you for all these things. Oh, let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct this message, everything that is said today. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So, we have learned as Christians that we are at war. And in the past few sermons, we have spoken a fair bit about the Christian life as a spiritual battle. And we've in 1 Timothy, Ephesians, and 2 Timothy. Now I want to stop and think about that just for a moment. Our life as believers will be spent in a spiritual warfare against the devil, who the Scripture says is the fallen god of this age. He fights against us by tempting us to sin against God. He is the great tempter. We fight him by resisting him in the name of Christ. We fight against the world of unbelievers who are captive and deceived by the devil. And so they serve his evil purposes. We fight them by resisting their temptations, by separating ourselves from their company as far as we are able, and by giving them the word of God, and by doing good to them as they do evil to us.
Amen.
Lastly, we fight against our own fallen flesh. For me, beloved, this is my worst enemy. James tells us that our flesh wages war against the things of the Spirit. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 7. Peter says the same thing in the first epistle. Listen to God's word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from the fleshly lust which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So as Christians, we are at peace. Given all that we have just said, I want you to consider another truth in God's word about you as a lover of Christ. As a believer, the Bible says that we now have peace with God.
Amen.
Christ, by his blood, has taken away the enmity of God against us for our sins. In Romans chapter 5, God is now our Father. We are now his beloved children.
Amen.
And in John, Christ, by his blood, has subdued us to God. We are no longer at war with God. In Christ, we now have peace of conscience. Jesus is our advocate. He leaves us his peace.
Amen.
We have peace with our fellow man to the extent that depends on us. In that, we now have received a dove-like spirit and a lamb-like spirit the moment we came born again, new creatures in Christ. Consider then the two seemingly opposite truths we just mentioned. As Christians, we are at war. As Christians, we are at peace.
Amen.
Christians are at war in one sense, and Christians are at peace in another sense. Christians are at war with certain objects, and Christians are at peace with different objects or subjects. And so then both are true and understood rightly. We are free. Now, like we are going to consider today, that the Bible on one hand says that we as Christians are free. We are free men and women in Jesus.
Amen.
Paul opened chapter 5 with this: "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." Jesus tells us that he sets us free. In John chapter 8, verse 31, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin.'"
Amen.
"The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." In our passage, we will unpack today the idea of Christian freedom. We are slaves. But also, God, through Paul, tells us that we are obligated to serve others. So in this way, we are servants, or more properly, slaves. And in fact, the apostle Peter, Paul, John, the authors James and Jude, all refer to themselves as bondservants, or slaves of God, or slaves of Christ. This means that like Christ's slaves, we are bound to think, speak, and do what pleases Christ, our master.
Amen.
Free from the devil and sin, bound to God in Christ to love and holiness. This is how Paul expresses both these ideas together in his first letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21, "Were you called while you were a slave? Do not worry about it, but if you are able to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." This is the fact of Christian freedom. Let's see if we can better understand our Christian freedom, because sadly, Christian freedom or liberty is often misunderstood, misused, or abused. Well, in verse 1 of this chapter, God tells us that Christ has set us free for freedom. So our freedom in Christ is of a particular kind. And the contrast is for freedom and not for slavery. Christian freedom is not universal freedom to do anything. Things that God says are slavery, we are not free to do. And we know that these things are sin. Sin is slavery. We are not freed by Christ to sin. Let me say again, we have no liberty from Christ to sin.
Amen.
God further explains our freedom in verse 13 when he gives us both positive and negative instructions about Christian freedom. Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Christ did not set us free from the law of God so that we could break the law of God freely without fear or divine reprisal. You see, Paul is warning the people under the sway of the Pharisees or legalists. Why we humans are prone to do this, I do not know. We are prone to extremes, extremely strict to extremely loose. Paul has been saying we are not saved by our law keeping, but that does not mean we are anti-law. No, we have been saved unto law keeping, not saved by our obeying, saved by Christ obeying, saved now to obey out of love.
Amen.
Christ did set us free to love others. Paul is quoting Leviticus 19:18. Martin Luther says that freedom of the Christian is slavery to love. What a wonderful maxim. Christian freedom is slavery to love.
Amen.
The idea is that Jesus freed us from the wrath of the broken law of God so that we can love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And that was, of course, also in Matthew 22. Let me say a word on love. Sometimes Christians are quick to say, "I love you." Brothers and sisters, be careful to be honest with ourselves and with others and with God. How much of what we say is love for others is not love? When we walk away and in a nanosecond we are angry or peevish or we gossip against them, this is not love. When you think and use the word love, think of the love for our children and grandchildren, our wife or husband, our mother or father. When these people are unlovely to us, we still love them because we really love them. Ask God in Christ to help us really love others like this.
Amen.
Now, the connection with this subject and being free to love and what the apostle has been writing about for the entire book thus far is very important. Paul has been inspired by God to write in favor of justification by faith alone in Christ alone. What we might call this free justification, and full and free justification at that. And that is to say, justification apart from any of our works of the law, ceremonial, moral, or any of our good works. Our works do not justify us before God.
Amen.
Let me give two instances. In Galatians 2:16 that we have covered recently, and they have done a great job, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faith in Christ Jesus, even We have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. And in Galatians 3:23 previously, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later revealed, which was Jesus. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus.
Amen.
So now, here we have the servant of Christ comes to speak about Christian freedom, freedom to love, freedom to serve. Do you see what Paul is getting at? His legalist opponents that has been chasing him throughout his mission told the Galatians that they must do works of the law in order to be justified before God in addition to believing in Jesus. And the legalists have a very common critique of the true gospel of justification by faith alone. It runs something like this. If you tell people that Christ has paid for all their sins and merited all their righteousness, all they need to do is simply believe in him, then they are fully accepted unto God. Well, now you have given them a license to go off and sin without fear of damnation. And of course, that is exactly what the legalist accused the Apostle Paul of. Listen to how Paul states their criticism against his gospel. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Now, before I give Paul's answer to their criticism, I want to say that their criticism reveals something about their spiritual and religious and moral nature. The legalist does not love God. They are not motivated to obey God out of love to God. They are motivated to obey God out of love for their self. They trust in their works and not in Christ's works. This is the devil in religious clothes, hatred for God and selfish pride in the religious garb. They are the older brother in Luke 15 that is the story of the prodigal son that professes perfect obedience. God is not deceived. And so even their objection to full and free justification by the pure gift of God shows their selfish and fleshly heart. Our passage today is Paul's answer that justification by faith alone does not produce lazy and sinful Christians.
Amen.
This is very similar to what our Lord's half-brother James says in his epistle in chapter 2 of that letter. Faith without works is dead, or dead faith, or false faith. He goes on to speak about our justification by good works, and the idea is that our faith is justified as true and saving before ourselves and before others. And what is interesting is that James quotes the very same commandment of God that testifies that we are truly justified by faith, and that is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Think of it this way. We are declared to be holy by the imputed righteousness of Jesus, received by faith. That is our justification. And from that, the Holy Spirit infuses the righteousness of the holiness of Christ in us to be practically and progressively holy like Christ. That is our sanctification. Simply put, Christ saves us to be holy. To be holy declaratively, to be holy practically. And love to God and love to man in word and deed is the best expression of holiness, which is why these Pharisee-like legalists, for all their outward so-called piety, are not really holy. They have no love. Without the love, our profession of faith is a farce. Without active love, we are nothing.
Amen.
I want you to think of it this way. If the life and death of our Lord Jesus presented to us in his gospel does not move us to amend our life and the love of God and a loving man, nothing will. Let us consider these two instructions on our freedom. Do love your neighbor. Do not gratify the flesh. Jesus has set us free to love one another from the principle of love, as we learn in our passage today. For you were called for freedom, your freedom, but through love, serve one another. When we are governed by genuine, affectionate love for God and love for others, then we will not abuse our Christian liberties by hurting other people. Think of the Ten Commandments. If we love God and man, we will treat them lovingly. But if we do not love God and man, then we will treat them unlovingly. Think of each of the Ten Commandments and apply the idea to each. For example, if we love God, we would not abuse his name, the third commandment. If we loved our neighbor, we would not abuse his name, the ninth commandment. Remember, God here tells us that we have been freed by Christ, God's suffering servant, to serve others. And I stress the word serve one another. Gird your loins and wash feet like Christ did. And true love does serve others. Non-love of others serves self, because in this case, self is the only one loved. We serve those we love. The Bible gives us some examples of loving with our Christian liberty. And remember, Christian liberty is an inward thing. A freedom of conscience, a freedom in our beliefs. To use our Christian freedom as an external thing towards man. The when, where, and how of using our freedom is a thing of grace, wisdom, and Christ-like love. Paul says in the first book of 1 Corinthians that if eating meat or doing anything not sinful offends his weaker brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, then he will abstain. Think of the Lord Jesus. He laid aside his divine glory and the worship of his angels, and he became man to suffer all the indignities and agonies of a man, to serve us out of love. It's intimate. Let's imitate Christ by serving others, even to the point of curtailing our rights for a moment.
Amen.
As I use the example of Christ's love for us to motivate us to love God and to love others, remember this. Often we prove how much we love God by how much we love others. Or to put it another way, when we obey God's command to us to love our neighbor as ourselves, we reveal that we really do love God. Calvin says that love to God cannot be separated from love to other people. Read the first epistle of John, and it says this very thing over and over again. Listen to what the Apostle John says on this, 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
Amen.
By this term, neighbor, God is teaching us that there ought to be no discrimination in our service of love. Think of Christ's parable of the Good Samaritan. The Pharisee asked Jesus after he gave him the parable, "So who is my neighbor?" And Jesus says, "Anyone around you that needs help or needs serving." Remember, the book of James in chapter 2 condemns the Christians for showing favoritism to the rich and looking down on the poor. Unbelievers show love to some and disdain for others. We do this in so many ways. We love like those who are in our own denomination, but those that differ, sometimes we don't agree with them. We are called to something infinitely higher. You see, these false gospel teachers were all concerned about the circumcision of the flesh, but they did not stress what God stressed, love. Here are some questions we should ask ourselves. In what ways am I gratifying my fallen flesh? Am I making an idol out of food with gluttony?
What about unclean looks or thoughts? What about bitter words or angry countenances? Back to our scripture, we were called to freedom. Love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice Paul says, be careful that we do not turn our freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. The idea that our flesh is a combustible material, it does not need much of a spark to ignite. Think of our fallen flesh looking, watching, and waiting for the opportunity to serve itself. For an example, can a believer drink alcohol as long as it's not in excess to drunkenness? Yes. But let's say the believer goes to the pub after work day after day and out to have a drink. This will have the potential venue to serve the flesh. In part, Paul introduces the bad results of not loving others in order to motivate us to love others. One evidence of the flesh is quarreling with others, which the apostle brings up in verse 15. Fighting with others is the flesh, it is sin. It is the opposite of loving and serving others. Using our Christian freedom, we ought to be especially on guard against getting into arguments with other people. We ought to remember this as we use social media. Now, the context is with other people in the church, but I would apply this to all people. The Bible says that God's service must not be pugnacious, which means apt to fight. Fights mostly come from pride, which is a love affair with oneself. It does seem, by Paul bringing up this particular sin, that perhaps the Galatians were prone with fighting with one another. And beloved, this is actually not so strange given the fact that they had believed the false legalist gospel. Pharisees do not love. They are bitter people because they do not enjoy the love of God in their soul. And therefore, they are prone to embitter people that are around them. They stir up strife because their spirit is not at sweat, is not at rest. I will say this, most often fighting among Christians is a great sin. The devil is behind this. He cannot curse the church, but he can corrupt it by instigating fights and disagreements. How many churches has been destroyed because the professing Christians abused and misunderstood their Christian liberty, and they did not serve others out of love, they served themselves out of sin?
Amen.
How many marriages has been destroyed because the husband would not serve the wife out of love, or the wife refused to serve the husband out of love? Jesus says the greatest mark of a true believer is our love for other believers. In closing, remember, we love Christ because Christ first loved us.
Amen.
We have saving faith in Jesus, and so we love him. Faith is the root. Love is the fruit. If your love of the Lord is growing cold, then fan your faith in him, in his word, and in prayer, and your love will grow. Like that, if you lack love of other people, do the same thing. The best course is to fan your faith in Christ. The more you grow in the Lord, the more you will love others. And to express your love for others, look to Christ again, imitate him, be happy to be Christ's servants in them.
Amen.
Let us pray. O precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you, Father, for your word that is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you that we can go back and look on your word and we can read and learn more. And you can show us and reveal to us different truths that you want us to learn. Thank you again for this day. Please, precious Heavenly Father, send us out this week into your mission field. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit. Let us do and say and act accordingly. Let us be about serving you and about serving the kingdom. Let us be open to the ideas that you may have and what you may want us to do in your name. Thank you for all these things. Let us take time to pray and meditate and learn what your still, silent voice is saying to us in your Holy Spirit. Thank you again for this amazing church on the hill, that we can come out here today and boldly proclaim your word, that we do not have to sneak around, we don't have to hide and be secretive as some people in other countries. Be with them, lead, guide, and direct them. Be with the people in the tornado-stricken areas. Thank you again for each and every single person that has came out to worship you and love you and honor you. Thank you in all these things, and mostly thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has came to earth so that our sins can be forgiven, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if Pastor Mike would come and close this service.
Thank you, Brother Joe. A lot to chew on there.
There's a lot in those four verses for sure. Let's close our worship service by singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 93.
Thank you, and we pray that you will touch and bless and heal in all situations, be with all on our prayer chain. Just lift up each and every one, and we praise and thank you for the ones you have touched and blessed in special ways. Be as the ones that are not here this morning that have regularly came, and we pray that they will be back among us and worshiping in this little church on the hill, face to face. We praise and thank you for that. Praise and thank you for Jan being back, and the music is just wonderful. It just adds so much to the service. We, again, just praise and thank you for every blessing and promise. We lift up our country. We urgently pray that you'll touch and heal this terrible divide of evil hatred we have in our country. We'll see you return to the principles it was founded upon. Pray for the ones who are fighting for our freedoms all over the world, and pray for a hedge of protection around each and every one, that they might come safely home to their loved ones. Lift all that have been affected by all the terrible storms. We urgently pray that at time of their loss or sorrow, that if they don't know you as their personal Savior, they will come to you before it is ever too late. We lift up all the Christians all over the world. We pray that they will hold fast to their beliefs as they are being persecuted, killed, and forced from our homelands. Again, we lift up all the organizations that are reaching out to help people in trouble, whatever it might be, body, mind, or soul. Again, we just praise and thank you for the beautiful sunshine, fresh air, everything that you have given us that we truly need. We ask all this in Jesus' name, praying it might be in your will. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm sick of the name I have.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess we're undergrads, but those are next week too.
We've got two finals.
When do you guys have to look like after the first year, I guess?
That's good.
Yeah, still pretty good. She's finishing up her first semester. She's doing fashion design. But it's kind of the, she's really more into the design side of it. Right now it's a lot of business, supply chain, economics, and fashion, all that kind of stuff. Which isn't really what she's
actually. She's a WBU?
Yeah, she's a WBU.
That's awesome.
So many times in church, I don't even know how to look for it. I couldn't even count it.
I'm not going to break it.
Well,
he rescued me. I really thought I had a low con and rescued me. I thought rescue healing.
Yeah. Then we had some good medical advice.
We go to the doctor.
The handcuffs.
John really looked at me. So. So anyway, but hopefully I'm on the way down.
You're on the other side of it.
Are you walking the straight and narrow? Well, you've got somebody here to keep you straight.
I know. Same here. Very just blessed by you guys.
Well, that's Joe. He's
still me. You know, I'm just about bored of him. I think I've got, I might fall like this. I bet I've got enough. Half of next month.
So, well, you
I've never, in my 75 years, ever had wood like that. And I went on the gold mine and used to get it. And it was the kind of deal I had to get it out there. He wanted to kind of clear the property, so I just went to a grind and everything. I mean, we've got so much firewood. There'll be a time when I'm called.
Are you using it as at a faster rate now?
Well, you know, it's been a pretty open fall, so we haven't used much of it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's been pretty warm.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, like this week's going to get up to 60. So, we've got a jacket.
He was going to come up with the boys that one
day. Well, yeah, that would have been fine.
We're going to have a white Christmas?
I haven't really looked. I think Jim said maybe it wasn't.
Oh, no. I hear it. My old especially since it's 60 next week. You turn around.
It could. You never know.
We got the whole game coming in before.
Yeah, that's had no kind
of. I got it on like Monday and Tuesday.
That's when you're looking
for. I think about everybody leaving that game on the 25th. So they're going to be going. But I don't think they're called free. And now, you always worry about getting in and out if you have a bunch of snow. Of course, once you get here, well, then you want to put the snow so you can have fun.
Right.
So,
you can get a snowmaker on.
Yeah.
Well, John's baby is
the little one.
Oh, I know.
Little Ford has been. I've got a cool fat cat. Boy, they're big eaters.
How many people are there in the crew now?
Well, if everybody, let's see.
Good to see. I like your hat.
Well, we kick you around for the last
time. Yeah, they're all coming in before. It's like the 21st to the 25th, and then
the
16th. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big crew.
That's a big crew. For that little house.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
To eat all your green beans, huh?
They hit that. You know, they are all eating.
Oh, you know, all the girls.
Well, that's probably why they grew tall.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
You guys take care of it. You should elevate your leg.
You're not falling here. Well, let me hug these two girls.
Oh,
I'm so glad you're better too.
You too.
I need to get my financial letter to you. You want the email, right?
That's easy enough. So nice you guys got to do that.
Wait on that.
Then I can just call
you. So I'm so glad that everybody.
good. That's
so the boys are with.
I came over outside.
Yeah.
So you go to.
Like Saber.
That has a game. Well, it was sort of broke up and he had a cold or something, but he tested negative on COVID tests.
Oh, really?
We have a whole closet full.
He has a whole test.
Yeah. You can buy them all. It's really cool.
They're coming that way too.
John
said that Will was a big baby actor.
He texted me.
Such a baby.
He's
the
baby emojis. With the baby emojis.
Oh, such a baby. He said it hurt.
Like,
what did he say about it hurt? He said it was the worst thing.
That's where I came the first time. Which is, it's
really good with emojis.
Yeah.
I love her legs. You
had a
she did?
You build up the
I don't practice yet.
No. That's a nice practice.
I can't. That's you nice can't even answer with as many of them. You're like,
You got a monkey, you got a star, you got
a tree,
a rainbow. What's your absolute favorite?
I like the fairy and the skunk.
Joe Rain.
Thank you.
What are they?
You got it for me. I don't know.
So where are you, Nate? Where do you live?
Steubenville, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
That's work. Like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's like across the river from here.
Yeah.
So you're working up there?
Yeah, I work up with the poles in there.
Pretty sure.
But he's moving to Portland town in the spring.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a job there?
Mark was just telling me how blessed they were. Oh, shoot.
What?